because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Anyway, thank you, Carrie, for that reading. It's a good one, and it kind of starts off simple, and then it hits you with all the names. And I think, Carrie, you did incredibly well to kind of get through all of those. It foxed me a bit at the 9:30. So today, Pentecost, we're thinking about when the Holy Spirit was given to the disciples. So Jesus had left, and they were waiting for that power from on high that he said was going to clothe them. And Pentecost really is kind of the start of the church going out in power. And when we read the reading we've just heard there, you'll see that it's got that quote from the prophet Joel. And Joel starts by saying, "in the last days." And it's worth flagging up to us, perhaps this morning, we're in the last days. So we're in between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. And so we should be expecting a bunch of the stuff that we see on the list. So I thought I'd ask us this morning how we're doing with some of the things on the list. So here we go. First of all, dreams. So I wonder, in a moment, if you could give us a wave, if you think you've ever had a dream that was from God. I'm not going to ask you what it was. So anyone had a dream that they would say was from God at some point in their life? Quite a few. Brilliant. I love that way of God speaking to us. It doesn't require a lot of effort. You just have to wake up in the morning and think about it. One of the most difficult things, I think, about dreams is discerning, is it from God or not? And I know that in my life, when I've had a dream that's from God, it's stuck with me all the next day and I can't forget it. And there just seem to be things in normal life that come back and remind me of that dream again. Second thing, visions. So this is like when you pray and you get a picture from God, and it might be for you and it might be from somebody else. So who's ever had one of those? Wow, a lot of us. What, by the way, if you're sitting there and thinking, "I've never had one of these," can I encourage you to nobble one of these people over coffee and say, "What do you mean? And how did it happen? And how can I have more of those, please?" Okay. Now, if you're someone who don't want to be asked, obviously you'll have to avoid that, but we'll see how we go. The third thing is prophecy. So words. So perhaps you pray and you get a word either from the Bible or from just sort of other words that God might give you for somebody else. So does anyone get words for people or themselves when they pray? So quite a few of us. Wonderful. So there are lots and lots of different ways that God speaks to us. And I want to explore a little bit of that with us this morning. But first of all, I'd heard of a story that's really struck me in the last year. And it's of somebody who got given a house, quite an impressive gift. But the person who was given the house only went into the lobby. They went into the reception hall and they stopped. And that's where they stayed. And they never went into the rest of the house. And the owner of the house comes back and says, well, what do you think of it? And they said, well, you know, the lobby's really nice. The reception room's really nice. But they never got into the rest. And it struck me, actually, as a Christian, I can end up with sort of lobby thinking, that I've become a Christian. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. I've become a Christian. I know Jesus, but I don't go into the rest of the house. Because there is more that God wants to give us, more that God wants to show us. Becoming a Christian is the start of a journey. And over the years that we've been in lots of different churches, both me and other people have given some of the following reasons for not leaving the lobby, for staying in the kind of nice, safe place where we don't really explore what else God has for us. The first one is, I know God enough. God is like this little contained bit of my life, and if I try to pursue him more, he would grow into the rest of my life, and I'm not sure I'm up for that. Of course, behind that is a distrust of what God has for us, that God would just be about restricting and stopping us enjoying life to the full, and that isn't the sort of God that we worship. The second thing is, some people say, God wouldn't do X, Y, or Z. There's this long list of, well, actually, God would keep within these boundaries of what I expect God to do. And some of your house groups are looking at a book called God is Stranger, which is a wonderful book, but it's all about God being quite strange. And if you look through the Bible, he is a little bit odd in places. You've got Jonah who gets swallowed by a fish. You've got Isaiah, a prophet, who's told to take off all of his clothes and go around naked as a sign to the people. You've got Hosea, who's told to marry a prostitute that doesn't change her ways. And then you've got John the Baptist, this weird guy who eats insects. God is quite odd in many ways, and perhaps we should expect him to be slightly strange in how he deals with us at times. He pushes us, perhaps, a little bit out of the expected. The third thing that I've heard, this idea about lobby thinking, is some people say, well, God knows me. I'm not the sort of person who would. And then there's various things that follow. I'm not the sort of person who God would ask to go and talk to someone on the street about faith. I'm not the sort of person who God would use to pray for people. I'm not the sort of person who would get a picture or a vision from God. I'm not the sort of person who could be on the stage at any point. I'm just not that sort of person. And I would just encourage us, I don't know how many times that I've said that to God, I'm not that sort of person, and he said, obey me, step out. I will take you beyond what you think you can do, but that's why I'm having to grow you. That's why you're having to lean on me. Now, of course, none of these experiences of how we hear from God makes us a Christian. The very last verse of Joel's prophecy is what makes us a Christian. We've called on the name of the Lord, and that's what meant that we can know God. But there is more. And you might know that Rachel is starting the workshops that she is running that are all about different ways of knowing God and helping us in our life of prayer. But this morning, I'd like us to explore a bit about the gift of tongues. It's at the heart of this story that we hear of Pentecost. And in the Bible, there are two sorts of tongues. Pentecost is probably the first kind where it is intelligible to somebody else. So you say something in a heavenly language, or perhaps you say something in an earthly language that you don't know, and somehow God makes sure that that other person can understand it, or he uses another Christian to interpret it. So I'll give you an example. When we lived in London, Rachel, my wife, kept praying the same tongue. She'd pray this two sentences or so that she could not understand what it was. And she'd pray it again and again and again. And it wasn't until one night when she was praying and one of the young people in our church said, do you realize that you're praying for Sophie? She said, I know what that means. God has shown me what your tongue means. And she'd been praying for this really troubled teenager in our congregation for the last 6 months. And she'd seen enormous change in that girl's life. But she'd never known, if you like, what she was saying. But somehow God was using her to pray anyway. Now there's a second kind of tongues, which Paul mentions in Romans 8. It's a kind of tongues where our spirit is praying to God and bypassing our mind. And that's the sort of tongue that you might use if you're by yourself, perhaps. A little while ago, I watched a documentary about people who spoke in this sort of tongue, and they hooked them up to a CAT sort of scan thing with, like, you know, electrodes and whatever, and they measured their brain to show what was going on. And really fascinatingly, they found the language center of the brain was dark. It wasn't doing anything when they were speaking in this sort of tongues, which kind of matches actually what St. Paul tells us, that our spirit praying to God, sort of bypassing our brain, but praying those things that God wants us to pray. So I don't know about you, but I very often pray with people and I think, oh my goodness, I don't know what to pray for. Your situation is so complicated that I just don't know. I'm not sure what the best outcome would be. And very often there, I'll pray in a tongue because I know that my spirit, my soul, the part of God within me, the Holy Spirit, knows exactly what needs doing and can pray to the Father on my behalf. So two sorts of tongues going on in the Bible. Now, if like me, you thought that tongues was a little bit odd, I'll just share with you a brief kind of history of how I came to speak in tongues. To start with, I thought it was really strange. I looked at the list of spiritual gifts in the Bible and I kind of made my shopping list. I'd like teaching, please. That sounds great. I'd love a gift of healing. That would be amazing, the amount of sick people that you meet. Hospitality, evangelism, all gifts. I thought, yeah, I can understand that. That's great. And then I got to tongues and thought, I don't want that. That just sounds weird. I don't want a gift of tongues. I can speak in English, thank you. And it took a long time before I finally realized that was lobby thinking. That was me not stepping out of the reception room. That was me saying, I don't really trust you, God, on that one. I think I probably know better. And at the start of Joel's prophecy, it says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And that's what swung it for me. I thought, actually, it's God's spirit, and I trust God and love God, and he loves me. So if he wants to give me the gift of tongues, even though it's going to sound odd, even though I'm not sure about it, then bring it on, because I trust you. And so perhaps this morning I might encourage you to have a reflect and to have a think. Are there ways in which you're stuck in the lobby where you need to think, what would God call me forwards to? Are there other gifts that he would give me? Are there other ways he'd like me to hear from him? And perhaps you might think to yourself, well, I'd quite like a gift of tongues this morning, in which case the prayer team will be there. But can I just encourage you, when I got prayed for the gift of tongues, nothing happened. Like the person laid his hand on me, prayed for me, and absolutely nothing happened. And I went up a couple of times and still nothing happened. And I thought, oh, this really hasn't worked. Maybe they've got a duff prayer. Or maybe God doesn't want to do this in me, right? But it took a while for me to realize, actually, when I got prayed for the gift of sharing my faith with others, or teaching, or any of the other gifts, I didn't get a mature version of that gift just kind of downloaded into me. Actually, it was the start of a long journey of learning. And when I got prayed for the gift of tongues, the last person who prayed for me said, practice it. You will only get one word perhaps at a time, but practice it. So for months after months, I would kind of sit in the bath because it was the only place I could find where nobody would think I was weird. And I would just lie there and start to make sort of noises and ask God, can you give me another word? And then gradually the gift of tongues started to emerge. And these days, it is one of the best gifts I've had from God. It helps me to pray for other people. It helps me to pray when I haven't got a clue what to pray for. So can I encourage us today, getting out of the lobby and perhaps think about receiving prayer for the gift of tongues. Can I just pray for us? Lord Jesus, thank you that all of us is on a journey with you. Thank you that we meet you on your terms and that you can do amazing things in our lives. Thank you that you see what we could be, what you could transform us into as well as what we are, and that you walk with us, that you are a loving Father. We pray, God, that you would show us areas of our lives where we haven't allowed you to take us forwards. We would long to hear from you more, to be used by you more, to trust you more. And God, if tongues is a gift for some of us this morning. Lord, help us to be brave to go and get prayer. If we think we've never heard from you before, help us to get prayer to be able to listen to you and hear from you, and give us perseverance in seeing that breakthrough, we pray. Amen.